Play of the Week. Patrick McGee as Rubek and Anna Massey as Irena in When We Dead Awaken by Henrik Ibsen. Adapted for radio by Richard Wigmore.
What's the matter?
Just listen to the silence.
Can you hear it?
Hear what?
The silence.
I certainly can.
Perhaps you're right, mein kind. One really can hear the silence.
God knows one can. When it's as deafening as it is here.
Here at the baths, you mean?
Everywhere in this country. Oh, down in the city it was noisy enough, but even there I thought all that noise and bustle had something dead about it.
Aren't you happy to be home again, Maya?
Are you?
I?
Yes. You've been abroad so much, much longer than I. Are you really happy to be home again?
No. To be perfectly honest, not really happy.
There. You see, I knew it.
Perhaps I've been abroad too long. This northern provincial life seems foreign to me.
Oh, let's go away again as quickly as possible.
But, Maya, it was you who insisted that we should come north this summer.
How could I have known everything would have changed so dreadfully? And in such a short time, I mean, it's only just 4 years since I went away.
Since you got married, you mean?
Married? What's that got to do with it?
Well, since you became Frau Professor and the mistress of a beautiful home and a villa on the town of Cezay, surrounded by all the best people. And it's very fine and handsome, Maya, there's no denying that, and very spacious. We don't have to sit in each other's laps all the time.
No, we've got all the room we need.
Exactly. You've grown used to a more spacious and luxurious way of life and a more gracious society than you'd been accustomed to at home. But never mind. We only have to stay here till tomorrow. Then the great steamer will come into harbour, and we shall go on board and sail along the coast northwards, as far as we can go, right up into the Arctic.
Yes, but then you won't see anything of the country and the people. That's what you came for.
I've seen more than enough.
Do you think a sea voyage will be better for you?
Well, it's always a change.
All right, if you think it'll be good for you.
Good for me? Nothing the matter with me.
Yes, there is, Rubek, and you know it. You've begun to wander round restlessly, as though you couldn't find peace at home or anywhere else. And you've begun to avoid people lately.
Really? You've noticed that?
No one who knows you could help noticing it. And I think it's such a pity you've lost your passion for work.
That, too.
You used to work all the time, day and night.
Used to.
But ever since you finished your masterpiece...
The Day of Resurrection.
The masterpiece which has been exhibited all over the world and has made you famous.
Well, perhaps that's where it began to go wrong, Maya.
What do you mean?
The Day of Resurrection is a masterpiece. Or was when I first... No, it still is. It must be a masterpiece.
Yes, Rubek, the whole world knows
that. The world knows nothing. It understands nothing.
At least they can sense something.
Something that isn't there. Oh, yes. Something I've never imagined. And that's what they all go mad about. What's the use of working oneself to death to please the masses, the mob, the whole world?
Are you better occupied nowadays churning out these portrait busts? Do you really think they're worthy of you?
They are not ordinary portrait busts, Maya.
Oh, yes, they are. These last 2 or 3 years, ever since you got that big group finished and out of the house.
Nevertheless, they are not ordinary portraits, believe me.
What are they, then?
Well, there's something hidden within those faces. A secret meaning which people cannot see.
Oh, really?
Only I can see it. And I find it intensely amusing. Superficially, there are these striking likenesses, as they call them, at which people gape entranced. But deep within, I have sculpted the righteous and estimable faces of horses, the opinionated muzzles of donkeys, the lop ears and shallow brows of dogs, and the dull and brutalized fronts of oxen.
All nice domestic animals, poor dears.
Just nice domestic animals, Maya. All the animals which man has corrupted in his own image, and which have corrupted him in return, and these disingenuous works of art are what our honest burghers commission from me, and pay for in good faith and solid cash. Oh, they are almost literally worth their weight in gold.
Have a drink, Rubeck. Be happy.
I am happy. Really happy. In a way.
Oh, may I have the honor of wishing you a good morning, madam? Good morning, Professor. Did you spend a good night?
No. I'm afraid I always sleep badly. Especially recently.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But a few weeks here with us and things will be different.
Tell me, Inspector, have you a patient who is in the habit of bathing at night?
At night? No, I've never heard of such a thing.
For heaven's sake, Rubeck, I told you this morning you've been dreaming.
Really? Have I? Thank you. It so happens I couldn't sleep last night, so I got up. I wanted to see what kind of a night it was.
Yes, Professor?
So I looked out of the window, and I saw a figure dressed in white over there among the trees.
And the professor says this figure was wearing a bathing dress.
Or something of the sort, I said. I couldn't see closely enough. I could only tell it was something white.
Most remarkable.
A lady, I'm almost sure. But behind walked another figure, and this second figure was quite dark, like a shadow.
A dark figure? Was it black?
Yes, it appeared so to me.
And it walked behind the white figure? Close behind her?
Yes, a little way behind.
Ah, then I may be able to explain this mystery for you, Professor.
Well, tell me, who was it?
You mean he wasn't dreaming after all?
Shh. Professor, look. Over there. Lower your voices for a moment, please.
Who is that lady?
A visitor who has rented that little pavilion.
Is she foreign?
I think she must be. She and the nun arrived here from abroad, anyway, about a week ago. They've never been here before.
She is the one I saw in the park last night.
It must have been. The thought occurred to me at once.
What is this lady's name, Inspector?
She registered as Madame de Satov and companion. That's all we know.
Satov.
Do you know anyone of that name, Rubeck?
No one. Satov? That sounds Russian, or Slavonic, anyway. What language does she speak?
When the two ladies talk together, they use a language I don't understand. But at other times, she speaks good, honest Norwegian.
Norwegian? You sure you're not mistaken?
How could I be? I've talked to her several times. Only a few words. She's very reticent. But there's
but
no...
But she spoke Norwegian?
Good, pure Norwegian. Possibly with a slight northern intonation.
That, too.
Perhaps the lady has been your model at some time, Rubeck. Think back now.
My model?
Yes, when you were young. Think of all those models you used to have. In the old days, I mean.
No, little Maya. To tell the truth, I've only ever had one model. Only one for everything I have created.
I'm afraid I must ask you to excuse me now. I see someone coming who I'd rather not speak to, especially when a lady is present.
Who is he?
Squire Ulfheim.
Oh, Squire Ulfheim.
The bear slayer, they call him.
Oh, I know him.
Yes, who doesn't?
Only slightly. Has he come here for treatment at last?
No. Surprisingly enough, not yet. He just passes through once a year on his way to his hunting grounds. Please, excuse me.
My God! Is this fine company for a peasant like me to stray into?
I beg your pardon?
Isn't it Master Carver Rubeck himself?
Oh, we met once or twice socially, The last autumn I spent in this country.
Yes, but that was years ago, and you weren't as famous then as I hear you become now. In those days, even a dirty bear slayer dared come within range of you.
Well, I don't bite even now.
Do you really hunt bears?
Bears for choice, ma'am. But if they're not to be had, I'll take any wild thing that crosses my path. Eagles, wolves, women, elks, reindeer. As long as it's fresh and juicy and has good red blood in its veins.
But bears for choice?
For choice, yes. If they give any trouble, you can use your knife. We both like tough material to work on, ma'am, your husband and I. He struggles with his blocks of marble, I suppose it'd be, and I with tensed and quivering bear sinews, and both of us conquer our material in the end. Make ourselves masters over it. We don't give up till we've brought it to heel, however strongly it resists us.
Mm, there's truth in that.
Yes, even stone's got something to fight for. It's dead, and it'll do everything to save itself from being chiseled into life. Just like a bear when you creep up and prod it in its lair.
Are you going up to shoot in the forests?
Yes. High up in our mountains. I dare say you've never been to the top of a mountain, Mrs. Rubeck.
No, never.
My God, then make sure you go up this summer. Come along with me. I'll take you both gladly.
Thank you, but my husband is thinking of going on a sea voyage this summer.
Only along the coast, among the islands.
Why the devil do you want to waste your time in those tepid gutters? I never heard of such an idea, frittering away the summer in that ditch water. Dish water, I call it.
Do you hear that, Rubeck?
No. Come up with me. Up to the mountains. It's clean up there. No people. You can't imagine what that means to me. And with a little lady like you. Look at that nun. Black Crow. Who's going to be buried today?
No one I know of.
Someone must be at death's door. People who don't know how to keep themselves healthy ought to have the decency to get themselves buried and not waste time out of it.
Have you ever been ill, Squire Ulfheim?
Never. Some of my best friends have, though.
And what did you do for them?
Shot them, of course.
Shot them?
I never miss, ma'am.
But what could induce you to kill human beings?
Who's talking about human beings?
You said your best friends.
I was referring to my dogs.
Are they your closest friends?
None closer. Fine sense of honor. Never let you down. 100% loyal, grand sportsman. As soon as one of them turns sick or starts to mope, bang, off he goes into the next world. Well, it's time I fed my hounds. It's quite something, you know, seeing those fellas eat. Would you like to see them?
Yes. Yes, I'd love to.
That's spoken like a woman of spirit, ma'am. Now come along with me, then. Great red meat bones. They swallow them whole. Cough them up, eh? Gulp them down. Does your heart good to watch them? Come along. I'll show them to you. We'll talk some more about this trip up into the mountains.
Very well. Erin.
You recognize me then, Arnold?
And you recognize me too, I see.
That's different.
Why is it different?
You're still alive.
Alive?
Who was the other person? The one you had with you at the table?
That? That was my wife.
Indeed. Good. No concern of mine, then?
No, of course not.
Someone you found after I died.
After you? How do you mean, Erin?
The child. Our child is well. It has survived me and become famous and honored.
Our child, yes. That's what we called it. You read about it, I suppose.
And has made its father famous. That was your dream.
I owe everything to you. Everything. Thank you.
If I had done as I should have, Arnold.
Yes.
I should have killed that child.
Killed it? Did you say?
Killed it before I left you. Smashed it. Smashed it to pieces.
You could never have done that, Erin. You wouldn't have had the heart.
No. I hadn't that kind of heart then.
But afterwards?
Since then I have killed it 1,000 times, in the daylight and in the dark. Killed it in hatred and revenge and agony.
Erin, tell me now. After all these years, why did you leave me? vanish without a trace, nowhere to be found.
Oh, Arnold, why should I tell you that now, when I'm dead?
Was there someone else you had fallen in love with?
There was someone who had no use for my love or my life.
Where have you been, Irene? All my efforts to find you came to nothing.
I passed into the darkness, and our trial stood transfigured in the light.
Have you traveled?
Yes, traveled through many countries.
And what have you been doing, Irene?
I have stood like a statue naked on a revolving platform in music halls. I made a lot of money. That was something I could never have done when I was with you, because you hadn't any. And I've been with men I could drive crazy. And that was something I could never have been able to do to you, Arnold. You had so much self-control.
You married two, didn't you?
Yes, I married one of them.
Who's your husband?
He was a South American diplomat. I drove him crazy. He went mad, incurably, hopelessly mad. It was amusing while it lasted.
Where's he now?
In a graveyard somewhere, with a fine big monument over him and a lead bullet rattling in his skull.
Did he kill himself?
Yes, he was kind enough to save me the trouble.
Aren't you sorry he's dead?
Sorry, who's dead?
Herr von Sattoff.
He wasn't called Sattoff.
No?
My second husband's name is Sattoff. He's Russian.
And where's he?
Far away in the Ural Mountains, among his gold mines.
He lives there?
Lives? I think I've killed him, too.
Killed?
Killed him with a fine, sharp dagger I always take to bed with me.
I don't believe you, Irene.
It's true, Arnold, I promise you.
Have you never had any children?
Yes, I have had many children.
And where are they now?
I killed them.
Now you are lying to me again.
I killed them, I tell you, without a moment's pity, as soon as they entered the world. No, long, long before that. One after the other.
There is another meaning hidden in everything you say.
I can't help it. Every word I say to you is whispered in my ear.
Do you remember what you said when I asked you if you would leave home and come with me out into the world?
I raised three fingers in the air and promised that I would go with you to the end of the world and to the end of life, and that I would serve you in all things.
As a model for my work?
Free and naked.
And you did serve me, Irene. Joyfully, gladly, unstintedly.
Yes, with all the trembling blood of my youth.
You did.
I knelt down at your feet and served you, Arnold. But you...
I never wronged you. Never, Irene.
Yes, you did. You wronged my inmost being.
I?
Yes, you. I stripped myself naked for you to gaze at me. And you never once touched me.
Didn't you understand that your beauty often drove me almost out of my mind?
And yet if you had touched me, I think I would have killed you on the spot. I had a sharp needle always with me. I hid it in my hair. Yes, but... No, how could you?
I was an artist.
An artist, yes.
Before all else, I was an artist. And I was sick, sick with a longing to create the one great work of my life. It was to be called the Day of Resurrection. I conceived it in the likeness of a young woman awakening from the sleep of death.
A child, yes.
She, this awakening child, was to be all that is noble, all that is pure, perfection and woman. Then I found you. In you I saw all the things I wanted to express, and you agreed so gladly, so willingly. You left your family and your home and came with me.
When you took me away, I felt just as though I had become a child again.
That was why I was able to use you. To me, you were something sacred and untouchable, fit only to be worshipped. I was still young then, Irene. And I was convinced that if I touched you, if I desired you sensually, my vision would be profaned so that I would never be able to achieve what I was striving after. And I still think there is some truth in that.
The trial of the mind first, the trial of the body second.
Condemn me if you will. But I was so completely dominated by my task and so exultantly happy in it.
And you accomplished your task, Arnold.
Thanks to you. bless you. Yes, I accomplished my task. I wanted to create woman as she will appear when she wakes, pure and undefiled, on the day of resurrection, not marveling at what is new, the unknown, the unimagined, but filled with a holy joy at finding herself unchanged. She, a mortal woman, in the higher, freer, happier kingdom after the long and dreamless sleep of death. That's how I created her. I created her in your image, Irene.
And then you were finished with me.
Irene?
You had no further use for me.
How can you say?
You began to look round for other ideals to inspire you.
I found none after you.
And the woman you're living with now?
Don't speak of her now.
Where do you intend to go with her?
On a long, tedious trip up north along the coast.
Go high up into the mountains. As high as you can go.
Are you going up there?
Dare you meet me again?
If only we could. Ah, if only we could.
Why shouldn't we, if we want to? Come. Come, Arnold. Oh, please come up to me.
You can say what you like, Rubeck, but... Oh, excuse me, you've made a new acquaintance, I see.
I have renewed an old acquaintance. What were you saying?
I was saying you may do as you like, but I am not going with you on that awful steamer.
Why not?
I want to go up into the mountains and the forests. I'd so love to. Oh, you must let me, Rubeck. I'll be so good if you do.
Who's given you these ideas?
He, that horrible man who kills bears. You can't imagine what extraordinary things he's been telling me about the mountains. And the life up there. I'm sure they're only stories, but somehow he makes it all sound wonderfully attractive. May I go up there with him? Just to see if all he says is true. May I, Rubeck?
Go, by all means, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, go up into the mountains. Go as far as you please. Stay as long as you please. I may possibly be going up there myself.
No, no, you needn't trouble to come. Not for my sake.
But I want to go up into the mountains. I've made up my mind to do it now.
Oh, thank you, thank you. May I run and tell him at once?
Tell him anything you like.
Oh, thank you, thank you. How sweet and kind you are today, Rubeck.
Shall we meet up there, then?
Yes, we shall meet up there. I've been looking for you for such a long time.
When did you begin to look for me, Irene?
From the moment I realized I had given you something I couldn't do without, Arnold. Something one should never part with.
Yes. Yes, that is horribly true. You gave me 4 years of your youth.
More, I gave you much more than that. I was too prodigal.
Yes, you were prodigal, Irene. All your naked beauty you gave me.
To gaze at.
To immortalize.
For your own glory. And for the child.
For you too, Irene.
You've forgotten the most precious gift I gave you.
The most precious? What gift was that?
I gave you my soul. Young and alive. And left myself empty. Soulless. Don't you see? That's why I died, Arnold.
Irena! Irena!
Irena.
Hello? Oh! I've been looking for you everywhere, Rubeck.
Have you come from the hotel?
Yes, a moment ago. Oh, that flytrap.
You didn't come down to lunch, I noticed.
No, no, we ate ours in the open, under the sky.
We? Who are we?
I and that awful bear slayer.
Oh, him?
Yes, and tomorrow we're going out again, at dawn.
After bear?
Yes, off to kill Bruin.
Have you found any tracks?
One doesn't find bears as high up as this, didn't you know?
Well, then...
Far down, down in the valleys, where the forests are thickest, where people from the towns can't go.
And you two are going down there tomorrow?
Yes, that's what we've decided. Or we may even go this evening,
if you've no objection.
I? No, far from it.
Lars will be coming with us, of course, or with the pack.
I'm not interested in Mr. Lars and his pack.
Oh, Rubeck, how can you bear to sit here and listen to those children yelling and watch them jumping around?
There's a kind of harmony in their movements, almost like music. At isolated moments amid all that clumsiness, it amuses me to sit and wait for those moments.
Always the artist, aren't you?
Yes, please, God.
There's nothing artistic about that bear slayer. Nothing at all.
I don't doubt that for a moment.
And he's so ugly. So ugly, so ugly. Oh!
Is that why you're so delighted to be going off with him into the forest?
I don't know. You're ugly too, Rubeck.
Have you only just discovered that?
No, I've noticed it for a long time.
One grows older. One grows older, Maya.
Oh, I don't mean that. There's something so tired about your eyes. When you deign to look at me, which isn't often.
You've noticed that, have you?
Little by little, a kind of evil expression has crept into them. Almost as though you were plotting something against me.
Really? Maya, what do you think was my real reason for suggesting we should come up to this place?
I think it was because of that pale lady.
Mrs. Von Sattel?
Yes, the one who follows us round all the time. Yesterday evening she turned up here too.
But why on earth?
Well, you knew her very well, didn't you? Long before you knew me.
I'd forgotten her too, long before I knew you.
A woman who stripped herself naked for you.
That means nothing, nothing to us artists. No, Maya, I had quite a different reason for coming here. You remember you said that day down at the spa that you thought I'd become very nervous these past months?
Yes, so you have.
Why do you suppose that is?
Perhaps you've grown tired of being continually together with me.
Continually?
We've lived together down there for 5 whole years, just the two of us, and have hardly ever been away from each other for an hour. Just we two, all by ourselves.
Well?
You don't like being with people, Rubeck. You prefer to be by yourself and think your own thoughts. And I can't talk properly to you about what interests you, about art and all that. God knows I don't care very much for it either.
Poor Maya. So we spend most of our time sitting by the fire and talking about your interests.
Lord, I've no interests to talk about.
Perhaps they are rather trivial. Still, time passes, Maya. Time passes.
True enough. Time does pass. It's running away from you, Rubeck. I suppose it's that that makes you so uneasy.
And so restless. What I feel so keenly, almost painfully, is the need of someone who is really close to me.
Aren't I, Rubeck?
Not in that way. I must live with someone who can make me complete, supply what's missing in me. Someone who's one with me in everything I strive for.
Yes, in big things like that, I can't be of any help to you.
Can you guess what it really is that has driven me to despair?
The fact that you've tied yourself to me for life.
I wouldn't have put it quite so heartlessly.
That doesn't make the thought less heartless.
You don't understand what really goes on in an artist's mind.
Oh, good heavens, I haven't the faintest idea what goes on inside my own mind.
I live so fast, Maya. We live like that, we artists. I have lived through a whole lifetime in the few years we two have known each other, and I've come to realize it's not within my power to find happiness in idleness and soft living. Life is not shaped like that for me and my kind. I must go on working, creating incessantly until I die. That's why I can't go on with you any longer, Maya. Just you and I.
Does that mean, in plain words, that you've grown tired of me?
Yes, that is what it means. I've grown bored, intolerably bored and tired of living with you. It's drained all my vitality. Now you know.
Yes.
These are hard and ugly words. I know that well. And you are not to blame. I admit that willingly. It's only in me that this change, this revolution has occurred. This awakening to the life that is really mine.
Why, in God's name, can't we part then?
Would you be willing?
Yes, if there's no alternative.
But there is an alternative. There is a way.
Now you're thinking of that pale lady again.
Yes. Yes, to be honest, my thoughts always return to her. ever since I met her again. I want to tell you a secret, Maya.
Well?
Here in my heart, I keep a small casket with a lock that cannot be picked. In that casket, all my visions lie. But when she left me and vanished from my life, the lock of that casket snapped shut. She had the key, and she took it with her. You, my poor Maya, you had no key. So everything in it lies unused, and the years pass, and all that wealth lies there, and I can't touch it.
Then get her to unlock it for you.
Maya?
Is it worth making all this fuss and bother about such a simple matter?
You call this a simple matter?
Certainly I do. You go to whoever you need the most. I shall always be able to find somewhere.
Where?
Well, I could move out to the villa if necessary. But it won't be. Our townhouse is very large. There should be room enough in it for three.
Do you think that could work? In the long run?
Lord, if it doesn't work, it doesn't. We won't get any further by discussing it. Look. Look, there she is.
Where?
Over there. Pacing along like a marble statue.
Isn't she the incarnate image of the resurrection? Why did I ever let her go? Drive her into the darkness, change her into... Fool that I was. Fool.
What does all that mean?
Nothing, nothing that you would understand.
Go down and talk to her, Rubek. Alone.
Where will you go?
From now on, I shall go my own ways. Professor Rubek is up there waiting for you, madam.
What does he want?
He wants you to help him open a casket which is jammed shut.
Can I help him with that?
He says you're the only person who can.
Then I'd better try.
Yes, do, madam. Please do.
She said you've been waiting for me.
I have been waiting for you. For years, without knowing it.
I couldn't come to you, Arnold. I was lying down there asleep. A long, deep sleep. Full of dreams.
The day will dawn, and the sun will shine for both of us. You will see.
Never believe that.
I do believe it. I know it, now that I've found you again.
Risen.
Transfigured.
Only risen, Arnold. Not transfigured.
Where have you been all day, Irina?
Far away in the dead country yonder.
You haven't your friend, the nun, with you today, I see.
My friend, the nun, keeps a close watch on me all the time.
How can she?
Oh, she can. She can. Wherever I go, she never lets me out of her sight. Until one fine sunny morning, I shall kill her.
Why?
Because she's a witch. Do you know, Arnold? She's turned herself into my shadow.
Well, we all have to have a shadow.
I am my own shadow. Can't you understand that?
Yes. Yes, Irina. I understand.
Why do you sit there with your eyes turned away from me?
I dare not look at you.
Why don't you dare to look at me any longer?
You have a shadow that torments you. And I, a conscience.
Oh, at last I have come back to you from a far country, Arnold.
Yes, from an endless journey.
Come home to my lord and master.
To ourselves. To our own selves, Irene.
Have you waited for me every day?
How could I dare to wait for you?
No, I don't suppose you did. You never understand a thing.
Was it really not for someone else that you disappeared so suddenly?
Couldn't it have been for you, Arnold?
But I don't understand.
When I had served you with my soul and my body, and the sculpture stood there finished, our child, as you called it, I laid at your feet the dearest sacrifice I could offer. I blotted myself out forever.
And left my life a desert.
Exactly. I wasn't going to allow you to create again ever, once you had created this child of ours, our only child.
Was it jealousy that made you do this?
No, hatred, I think.
Hatred? Hatred of me?
When I stripped myself naked and stood there before you, I hated you, Arnold.
That's not true, Irene. You didn't.
I hated you because you could stand there so unmoved.
Unmoved?
Or so intolerably in control of yourself then. And because you were an artist. Only an artist, not a man. But that statue of wet and living clay, her I loved. As she rose out of that raw and formless mass, a human child with a soul. She was our creation, our child, mine and yours.
In spirit and in truth.
It's for our child that I have made this long pilgrimage.
For that marble image?
Call it what you will. I call it our child.
And now you want to see it finished. In marble, which you always said was so cold.
So cold.
Perhaps you don't know that it now stands far away in a great museum.
I heard a story to that effect.
Always hated museums. You called them tombs.
I want to make a pilgrimage to the place where my soul and the child of my soul lie buried.
You must never see that statue again. Do you hear, Irene? I beg you, never, never, never see it again.
Arnold, have you harmed our child?
Harmed? I'm not sure what you would call it.
What have you done?
I'll tell you. If you promise to sit and listen calmly. And you mustn't look at me while I tell you.
I shall sit here, behind you. Now tell me.
When I found you, I knew at once how I should use you. You were to be my masterpiece. I was young then, with no experience of life. I envisaged resurrection as something perfect and beautiful. A pure young girl. Unstained by life, awakening to light and glory, without having to free herself from anything ugly or unclean.
And that is how I stand there now.
Not quite like that, Irene.
Not quite? Don't I stand there as I always stood before you?
In the years after you left me, Irene, I gained experience and knowledge. I began to envisage the day of resurrection as something bigger, something more complex. I enlarged the pedestal on which it stood. I made it broad and spacious. On it I set a small lump of our curved and fissured earth. And out of the fissure swarmed people, with the faces of beasts beneath their human masks, women and men, as I knew them from life.
But in the middle of the throng, the young woman stands with the light of happiness transfiguring her face. I do, don't I, Arnold?
Not quite in the middle. Unfortunately, I had to move the statue back a little for the sake of composition, you understand. Otherwise, it would have dominated it too much.
But the light of wonder and joy still shines on my face?
Yes, Irene, it does. In a way, that is, a little subdued, perhaps, to accord with the changed vision I had of life.
Arnold, my whole soul, you and I, we and our child were in that lonely figure.
Yes, but listen how I have portrayed myself in this group. In the foreground, beside a spring, as it might be here, there sits a man weighed down by guilt. He cannot free himself from the earth's crust. I call him Remorse. Remorse for a forfeited life. He sits there, dipping his fingers in the rippling water to wash them clean. And he is gnawed and tormented by the knowledge that he will never, never succeed. He will never in all eternity free himself and be granted resurrection. He must stay forever in his hell.
Poet.
Why poet?
Because you're soft and self-indulgent and so ready to forgive all your own sins, everything you've ever done or thought. You killed my soul, and then you model yourself as a figure of penance and remorse. Oh, I was flesh and blood once. I too had a life to live and a human destiny to fulfill. But I turned my back on it all, threw it away to serve you. It was suicide, a mortal sin against myself. And that is a sin I can never expiate. I should have borne children into the world. Many children, real children, not the sort that are hidden away in tombs. That should have been my calling. I should never have served you, poet.
But those were wonderful times we had, Irene. Miraculous, wonderful times, now that I look back.
Can you remember a little word you said to me when you had finished? Finished with me and with our child. Do you remember that little word, Arnold?
Did I say something you still remember now?
Yes, you did. Can't you remember it any longer?
No, I can't say I do. Not at the moment, anyway.
You took both my hands and pressed them warmly. I stood there, breathless, waiting. Then you said, "I am deeply grateful to you, Irena. This," you said, "this has been an inspiring episode in my life."
Episode? That's not a word I'm in the habit of using.
Episode was the word you used.
Well, perhaps I may have, but... Well, so it was, really, an episode.
At that word, I left you.
You take everything to heart, so, Irena.
Yes. Perhaps you're right. Let's forget these things of the heart.
Irena, do you remember that summer when we sat like this outside the little farmhouse on the Tornatzes there?
On Saturday evenings, yes, when we'd finished our work for the week.
We went out there by train and stayed over till Sunday.
An episode, Arnold.
I bought that little farmhouse on the Tornatzes there.
You bought it? You often used to say you would if you could ever afford it.
Well, eventually I was able to, so I bought it.
Do you live out there now, in our old house?
No, I had it pulled down long ago and built myself a fine big villa in its place, with a park around it. And that's where I usually spend the summer.
So you and that other woman live out there now?
Yes, when my wife and I aren't travelling, as we are this year.
Beautiful. Beautiful was life on the town at Sersay.
And yet, Irena...
And yet we let all that beauty slip from our grasp.
Is it too late to find it again?
Oh, look, Arnold. The sun is setting behind the mountains.
It's a long time since I watched the sun set in the mountains.
Or the sun rise.
I don't think I've ever seen a sunrise.
I once saw a miraculously beautiful sunrise.
Did you? Where was that?
High. High up on a dizzy mountain top. You enticed me up there and promised me you would show me all the glory of the world if...
If? Well...
If I did as you told me, followed you to the mountaintop, and there I fell on my knees and worshipped you and served you. Then I saw the sun rise.
Wouldn't you like to come and live with us in the villa down there?
With you and that other woman?
With me. As in the days when we created together, you can unfasten all the locks that have snapped shut inside me. Will you, Irena?
I haven't the key any longer, Arnold.
You have the key. You are the only one who has it. Help me to start living again.
Empty dreams. Idle, dead dreams. Our life together cannot be resurrected.
I'll be on good walkers.
Well, there goes little Maya with her bear baiter.
Your lady, yes.
Or his.
Good night, Professor. Dream about me. I'm going off on an adventure.
In quest of what?
Life. Real life. No substitutes.
You too, Maya dear.
Yes. I've made up a song about it. It goes like this. I am free, I am free, I am free. No longer in prison I'll be. I am free as a bird, I am free. Yes, I believe I have awoken at last.
It sounds like it.
Oh, how heavenly it feels to be awake.
Good night, Maya. Good luck with your hunting.
Thank you. Have a nice, quiet summer night on the mountain.
Summer night on the mountain. Yes, that would have been life.
Would you like to spend a summer night on the mountain? With me?
Yes. Yes, come.
My love, my lord and master.
Irena.
My shadow is calling me. We must part now.
Well,
no, don't move. Do as I say. You mustn't come with me. We'll meet tonight on the mountain.
Will you come, Irena?
Yes, I shall come. Wait for me here.
Summer night on the mountain with you. Oh, Irena, that could have been our life. And we have wasted it.
We only learn what we have lost when...
When?
When we dead awaken.
What do we learn then?
We learn that we have never lived.
I am free, I am free, I am free. No longer in prison I'll be. I am free as a bird, I am free. I am free, I am free, I am free. No longer in prison I'll be. I am free as a bird, I am free. I am free, I am free, I am free. No longer in prison I'll be. I am free as a bird, I am free.
Let me go, I tell you.
Steady now, you'll be biting me next, you snappish as a vixen.
Let me go, I say. Try to behave yourself.
I'm damned if I will.
Then I won't go a step further with you, do you hear? Not a step.
How do you think you'll escape from me up here?
I'll run down there if need be.
And smash yourself into dog's meat, a fine savoury blood pudding you'd make.
Oh.
All right, go ahead. Run down the mountainside if you want to. It's as sheer as a wall, and there's only one narrow path down, and that's as near as damn it impossible.
You're a fine one to go hunting with.
So all in the sport?
Oh, you call this sport, do you?
Yes, my fine lady, the kind of sport I like best.
Do you know what you're like, Squirrel? You're exactly like a fawn.
A fawn? Is that kind of a monster? A wood demon or something?
Yes, just like you. With a beard like a goat and legs like a goat. Yes, and horns too.
Horns too?
A pair of beastly horns just like you.
Well, can you see my poor little pair?
Yes, quite plainly. Well, now, I'm tired of you and your hunting expedition. I'm going down to the hotel before people wake up.
How do you suppose you're going to get down that path?
Don't you think I dare?
You wouldn't have a chance unless I help you.
Well, come and help me then. What else are you here for?
How would you rather I carried you? On my back?
Don't be ridiculous.
Or in my arms?
For heaven's sake, don't start that nonsense again.
I did that to a young girl once. Picked her up out of the gutter and carried her away in my arms. Carried her on my hands. I'd have carried her right through life like that so that she shouldn't hurt her pretty foot against a stone. Her shoes were worn to shreds when I found her.
And yet you picked her up and carried her on your hands.
Lifted her up out of the mire and carried her as high and as gently as I knew how. Do you know what thanks she gave me?
No, what?
She gave me horns. The ones you can see so clearly. Isn't that a funny story?
Oh, yes, quite funny. But I know one which is even funnier.
What's that?
Once upon a time, there was a silly girl. She had a father and mother, but they were very poor. One day, a great and powerful man appeared in their poor little house and picked the girl up in his arms, just like you, and carried her far, far away.
Wanted to live like he did, eh?
Yes. She was stupid, you see.
And he was tall and handsome, no doubt.
No, he wasn't so terribly handsome. But he made her believe he was going to take her up to the top of the highest mountain where the sun would always shine.
He was a mountaineer, was he?
Yes, in his way.
So he took the wench up with him?
Took her up with him? Oh, yes. No. No, he led her into a cold, damp cage which the sun and the fresh air never reached. Or so it seemed to her. Though the walls were gilded and lined with great stone ghosts.
Ah, serve her right, damn it.
Yes, serve her right. It's a funny story, though, isn't it?
Maya, listen to me.
Well, what is it now?
Why don't we two stitch our tattered lives together?
Is the squire turning poor man's tailor?
Exactly. Couldn't we draw the rags together here and there so as to patch some kind of life out of them?
And when those poor rags have quite worn out, what then?
Then we shall stand there free and unashamed. Ourselves as we really are.
You with your goat's legs.
And you
Come
with
on,
your...
Come on, let's go.
Where to?
Down to the hotel, of course.
And then?
Then I shall bid you a polite farewell and say thank you, sir, for the pleasure of your company.
I can offer you a castle.
Thank you. I've had enough of castles.
With splendid hunting grounds for miles around.
Is it full of great works of art, this castle of yours?
I can't offer you any of those.
I'm glad to hear it.
Will you come with me, then?
There is a tame bird of prey which keeps guard over me.
Ah, we'll wing him, Maya.
Then come and carry me down this path, then.
Yes, it's time we went. The mist is on us.
Is it very dangerous, the way down?
Not as dangerous as a mountain mist. Does it make you giddy to look down there?
Yes, it does. But look, those two down there climbing towards us.
It's only your bird of prey and its strange lady.
Can't we get down without their seeing us?
Impossible, a path too narrow. There's no other way down.
Well, let's face them here, then.
Spoken like a true bear slayer.
Hello, I'm Maya. Oh, so we meet again.
At your service.
So you've been on the mountain all night too, like us.
Yes, I've been hunting, with your permission.
Have you come up that path?
As you see.
The strange lady too?
Yes, of course. The strange lady and I will not be going separate ways anymore.
Can't you see there's a storm about to break? Don't you hear the wind rising?
It sounds like the prelude to the day of resurrection.
It's the wind blowing from the mountain, man. Look how the clouds are heaving and sinking. They'll be all around us soon like a winding sheet.
Winding sheet? Oh, I know that feeling. Let's go down quickly.
I can't take more than one. Get into that hut, Professor, and stay there till the storm's passed. Then I'll send some men up to fetch you both down.
To fetch us? No. No.
Take you down by force if need be. This is a matter of life and death. Now you know. Come on now, Maya. Don't be afraid. Trust me.
Oh, get me down. Get me safely down.
You two wait in the hut till they come with ropes to fetch you.
Did you hear that, Arnold? They're coming up here to fetch me. Men coming here.
Be calm, Irena.
Oh, and she, the one in black, she'll come too. She must have missed me long ago by now. She'll take hold of my arms, Arnold, and put me in the straitjacket. She's got it with her in her trunk. I've seen it.
No one will be allowed to touch you.
Oh, no. I've a way to stop them.
What do you mean?
This.
A knife?
Always. Always. Day and night. In bed, too.
Give me the knife, Elena.
I meant it for you, Arnold.
For me?
As we were sitting together last night, I heard you say, clear as ice, cold as the grave, that I was only an episode in your life.
You said that, Irene, not I.
I took out my knife. I was going to stick it in your back.
Why didn't you?
I suddenly realized you were already dead. You'd been dead for years.
Dead?
Dead. Like me. Like our love.
Our love is not dead, Irene.
The love which belongs to our life on Earth. That beautiful, miraculous life so full of riddles. Oh, that love is dead in us both.
I tell you, that love burns as passionately in me now as it ever did.
And I? Have you forgotten who I am now?
Whoever you are, whatever you are, to me you are the only woman I see in my dreams of you.
I have stood on a stage naked and showed my body to hundreds of men since then.
I was blind. I drove you to it. I set that dead figure of clay above life and happiness and love.
Too late. Too late.
Nothing that has happened since has cheapened you one whit in my eyes.
Nor in mine.
Well, then, we are free. There is still time for us to live, Irene.
The desire to live died in me, Arnold. Now I am risen from the dead and look for you and find you and see that you are dead and life is dead as I have been.
No, you are wrong, wrong. Both in us and around us, life rages as fiercely and joyously as ever.
The woman whom you created rising from the dead sees life cold and lying on its bier.
Then let us two dead people live life to the full for one short hour before we go down again into our graves.
Arnold.
But not here in this half darkness. Not here with this hideous dank shroud flapping around us.
No. No, up into the light where glory shines, up to the promised mountain top.
Up there we shall celebrate our wedding feast, Irena, my beloved.
The sun may look on us, Arnold.
All the powers of light may look on us, and all the powers of darkness too. Will you come with me now, my bride of grace?
Oh, freely and willingly, my lord and master.
First, we must pass through the mists, Irena, and then...
Yes, through the mists, and then up to the top of our tower, where it shines in the sunrise.
In When We Dead Awaken by Henrik Ibsen, translated by Michael Mayer, Patrick McGee was Rubek and Anna Massey Irena. Maya was played by Karen Archer, Ulfheim by Ian Hogg, the Inspector by Martin Friend, and the Nun by Diana Bishop. The sound balance was by Prue Menmuir, assisted by Mike Black and Andrew Kurofsky. When We Dead Awaken was a BBC World Service production directed by Gordon House.